Council passes three resolutions condemning the Israeli occupation. The U.S. votes against them. NATO rejects Russian calls for it to eradicate opium poppy fields in Afghanistan. Pakistan says U.S. suspicions of Islamabad's commitment to fight extremism have evaporated.
It is 2200 GMT and 2:30 a.m. here in the Iranian capital, Tehran. This is Press TV's World News.
Thank you for joining us. The United Nations Human Rights Council has passed three resolutions condemning Israel's policies in the occupied Palestinian and Syrian territories. One of the resolutions on human rights violations by Israeli forces in the occupied Palestinian territories was passed by 31 votes to 9 in the 47-member council. The resolution demands that Israel end the occupation of Palestinian land seized in 1967. It urges Israel to stop targeting Palestinian civilians and the systematic destruction of their cultural heritage sites. The resolution calls on Tel Aviv to lift the siege on Gaza and halt military operations across the occupied Palestinian territories. The U.S. and Britain voted against all three resolutions, claiming they do nothing to help peace in the region. Meanwhile, the European Union condemned Israel over its continued settlement construction in the East Jerusalem Al-Quds.
Well, the White House says the Israeli Prime Minister's visit to Washington has not resolved the differences between Washington and Tel Aviv. White House spokesman Robert Gibbs says U.S. President Barack Obama has urged Benjamin Netanyahu to take steps to build confidence in the Middle East peace process. Gibbs says the U.S. is seeking clarification from Israel over plans to build housing units in occupied East Jerusalem Al-Quds. Netanyahu's trip comes amid the worst crisis in U.S.-Israeli ties in decades. Reports say Netanyahu did not get the reception usually reserved for America's allies. Israel announced plans to build 100 more settler units in occupied East Jerusalem Al-Quds after the first meeting between Obama and Netanyahu.
The UN Secretary General has once again condemned Israeli settlement activities in the occupied West Bank.
I'm aware of the latest news concerning yet another 20 dwellings to be constructed in East Jerusalem, this time in the heart of an Arab neighborhood. I say again here that what I have been repeatedly saying that settlements are illegal under international law, and this must stop.
Ban Ki-moon also called the two-state solution as the only way to resolve the conflict between the Israelis and Palestinians. Also, in a message to the UN Conference on Assistance to the Palestinian People in Vienna, Ban slammed Israel's siege on Gaza as unacceptable and counterproductive. The UN chief called for the immediate removal of the blockade.
Well, Iran's foreign ministry spokesman has called for an end to what he calls Israel's state terrorism. Rami Mehmanparast also called on the Organization of the Islamic Conference and the Arab League to take effective measures to counter Israel's crimes against Palestinians. Mehmanparast has said this in response to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's recent defiance of calls for halting the expansion of settlements in the occupied Palestinian lands. Netanyahu had claimed that Jerusalem al-Quds is not a settlement but Israel's capital. Mehmanparast says Netanyahu's comments revealed Tel Aviv's aggressive nature and raised the alarm for the international community about the Israeli threat.
NATO has rejected Russian calls for it to destroy opium poppy fields in Afghanistan. A NATO spokesman says the best way for Moscow to help control drug production is to assist foreign troops in Afghanistan against militants. James Apatharai says NATO cannot remove, quote, the only source of income of the Afghan people. He says the drug problem has to be handled carefully to avoid alienating locals. He says the alliance is continuing efforts to target drug lords and drug labs. Russia says NATO troops should be given a UN mandate to eradicate Afghan opium crops. Moscow has blamed NATO for the surge in heroin trafficking from Afghanistan into Russia. Moscow says heroin kills at least 30,000 people in Russia every year, and most of it comes from Afghanistan.
Well, two NATO soldiers and five Afghans have been killed in the latest spark of violence in Afghanistan. The military coalition said the two soldiers were killed in a bomb blast in southern Afghanistan, but it has not announced the soldiers' nationalities and the exact location of the incident. Two Afghan mine clearers have also been killed when their vehicle hit a roadside bomb in southern Uruzgan province. Taliban has claimed responsibility for the incident. Three policemen were also killed when Taliban fighters attacked a police post in the southern province of Ghazni. The two NATO casualties bring to 133 the number of foreign soldiers killed in the country this year.
Pakistan's foreign minister says U.S. suspicions of his country have evaporated, with officials no longer questioning Islamabad's commitment to fight extremism. Meanwhile, the United States has declared a new day in ties with Pakistan.
Our countries have had our misunderstandings and disagreements in the past. And there are sure to be more disagreements in the future, as there are between any friends or, frankly, any family members. But this is a new day.
Clinton has opened the first-of-a-kind strategic dialogue with Pakistan. The talks come amid growing anti-American sentiment in Pakistan, caused by the rising number of U.S. drone attacks that have killed over 830 people since August 2008. Pakistan's foreign minister, Mahmoud Qureshi, said his country was seeking non-discriminatory access to energy resources. He said Pakistan wanted a constructive role by the United States in its dispute with India over Kashmir. Qureshi also said Pakistan's relationship with the United States is turning into a partnership.
Relationship in line with the aspirations of the people of Pakistan. The people of Pakistan expected a different kind of approach. The people of Pakistan expected a democracy, to treat a democracy differently, and you've done so. And you've done so. And that is why I'm satisfied. And that is why I think we are going to move from a relationship to a partnership.
Well, hundreds of Iraqis, as well as powerful local politicians, are pushing for a manual recount of the ballots from the country's parliamentary elections. Well, hundreds of people in the southern city of Basra took to the streets in support of Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki. They had one demand: the manual recounting of the votes. Also on Wednesday, 10 local government heads in a statement urged the Election Commission to authorize the recounting of the ballots due to what they call possible fraud of the election results. This just days after the Election Commission rejected calls by the Iraqi Prime Minister and President for the recount. The latest results have shown former Premier Iyad Allawi's Iraqiya slightly ahead of Maliki's State of Law coalition, but neither has the majority to form a government on its own.
The Turkish government has unveiled its constitutional reform package. It includes reforms that will see soldiers tried in civilian courts and changes to the judiciary itself. Critics say the government is trying to erode the judicial system, but the government says it is making changes in line with European norms. Judy Sabral has more.
This was a meeting to lobby the Turkish media in favor of AK Party's planned constitutional reform package. The government knows that changes will not be easy. Last time it attempted to remove the headscarf ban from universities, the party was almost closed down. The planned reforms by the Islamic-leaning AK Party government are seen by the conservative establishment as a challenge to the European Union candidate country's secular order. But AK Party says that the reforms are to curb the powers of an entrenched judiciary and to bring Turkey closer to EU democratic standards.
The purpose of these reforms is to strengthen democracy and to protect human rights.
The Justice Minister and two deputies to the Prime Minister held the meeting in Istanbul, but whether it was a success remains to be seen. Media bosses here criticised AK Party for not taking bolder steps. The current constitution was implemented during the 1980 military coup.
Turkey is entering a very tense period, so why don't we change the entire constitution? Why are we only discussing a few articles?
The planned reforms include making it more difficult for party closures. Among the most contentious issue is reform to the Supreme Board of Judges and Prosecutors, which appoints senior members of courts. Opposition parties have said they will not support the move, but the government says it's open to discussion with all.
Although opposition parties are against us, they also want constitutional change. Of course, the proposed reforms are not perfect, and we are open to discussion, new ideas and opinions.
The government is facing staunch opposition from within the parliament, and it has said if it doesn't get the two-third majority to pass the reform package, it could take it to a public referendum. But this is also a risky business with a divided public.
I'm opposed to changing the constitutional court. Why? Because they want to bring in Sharia law and erode the judiciary.
The constitution we have now is not a civilian one and needs to be changed. It was prepared during the 1980 coup. Of course it needs to be changed, but not like this.
The coming weeks will be crucial for the government in terms of gaining the needed support, something that will not be a smooth journey. Jody Sobral, Press TV, Istanbul.
Saudi Arabia claims it has arrested 113 Al-Qaeda militants accused of plotting attacks on oil and security facilities.
We have uncovered a cell made up of a network of people specializing in targeting security men. And in fact, we have found cases where security men were put under surveillance in a number of parts in the kingdom by this network.
Saudi officials say one cell consisted of 101 people, and two smaller cells were made up of six men each. The arrests included Saudis and Yemenis. Saudi Arabia says the alleged militants were in three cells, two of which were planning to attack oil and security facilities in the eastern province. Officials have not disclosed the dates of the arrests.
In Tehran, local time is 2:43 a.m., and here's a reminder of our top stories. The United Nations Human Rights Council passes three resolutions condemning the Israeli occupation. The U.S. votes against them. NATO rejects Russian calls for it to eradicate opium poppy fields in Afghanistan. On Pakistan says U.S. suspicions of Islamabad's commitment to fight extremism have evaporated.